Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Let's Talk for Org. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk for Org is on the air. And tonight, we are just 24 hours away from learning who the next city council and mayor of the city of Fort Worth will be. But this campaign has been riddled with rumors, alliances, special endorsements, PACs, and even a couple of houses of a city council member and a candidate being shot up. That said, with low voter turnout, how will this affect the election? Also, we've never seen an incumbent mayor only have two endorsements or a councilman being accused of stealing campaign donations. This is great material for a talk show, but what does it mean for these races? Well, with that said, let's talk Fort Worth. All right, Joe, I see Adrian is on the line, and Christopher, I think, is going to be about 5 minutes late. Good evening, Adrian. How are you?
Good evening, Carrie. I'm here. Thank you.
Yeah, listen, you are about 24 hours away from finding out how you have done as far as these races are, or your race is concerned. Are you nervous?
No, no, I'm not. I'm not nervous. I'm just I'm not nervous, and actually, my day is already locked in for tomorrow, what I'll be doing, so I wouldn't even be thinking about what's going on until 9 o'clock.
Until 9 p.m. tomorrow night?
Yeah, that's mean, you know, when they start dropping numbers. I know the poll, you know, the polls close at 7, so, you know, the first newscast usually, you know, drops at 9.
Well, no, remember they start coming in about 7:30, you start seeing numbers. The early numbers coming in, and about 9, we kind of get an idea of who's looking like they're winning, you know, for sure. But we start getting the numbers, like, remember the crane race, which was unprecedented?
Oh, yeah,
like,
through the website. Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about, I didn't factor in the website. You're right, because the actual voting website, you're right, they do release everything right at 7, so.
The numbers are going to start coming in like about 7:30. The post goes at 7. You know what? I'm so nervous. I'm feeling like I ran this year. This has been just so many ups and downs and twists and turns and alliances and special endorsements. It's just been crazy. So as a candidate, how has that been watching all these things unfold?
You know, Kira, I thought it would be a lot more that would have taken place, you know, with the with all, you know, I was thinking that at the last moment, once you explained to me that those mailers were coming out, I thought that would be the time that they just went in at certain candidates. But it's been really quiet. This one was compared to 2021, and we was under COVID restrictions then, and it seemed like it was a little more, you know, amped up in 2021. So it's felt a little quiet.
You know what? I think this is beyond quiet. I'm not even going to kid you. This has just been outright strange, because I just expected, more, you know, mudslinging, you know, that type of thing. But we didn't see that this time. Everybody's kind of been low-key and played, you know, I guess, you know, middle of the road in terms of what they put out about their opponents. So I found that very interesting. You know, I looked at my mailboxes, since I was getting no campaign information. And you know who he spent the most money that came to the, you know, of the campaign flyers that came to my house? I think it was Jeanette Martinez. Now, I don't know where she's getting all that money from, but I'm looking at right now four flyers, and I think I may have tossed one. So at least five big flyers, front and back. So somebody is like financing that girl like a lot of money, you know. So the other person that was close was Rick Herring, and I got two from him, and then I got two from Maddie Parker. So who's giving these folks all this money? It's my thing. Because Rick Herring is not, I don't think he's independently rich. So, and I really don't believe Martinez is either. So somebody's spending a lot of money on these folks.
Well, you know, I was thinking outside of those two packs that was highly spoken of, the two packs that were highly spoken of. You got the names of them?
I'm looking for my notes on that. I think it was Fort Worth Excellence was one of them, and the other one, I think Christopher told us about, that he thought was connected to a very rich family here in Fort Worth. So it's a lot going on. I'm just not sure where I think all this is headed, because, you know, we know that the Fort Worth COA endorsed some people, and then these PACs, you know, I don't know. I'm just a little concerned. Yeah, it's called Fort Worth Excellence PAC. That's one of them. And they're putting a lot of money out there. So let me ask y'all, since I've never run for anything, when a PAC basically endorses you, are they asking for anything in return, or are they just offering their endorsement and their finances?
My perception of anyone giving big donations is looking for something in return. It's I don't think the local level is no different than the federal level. You see how it is on a federal level, you know, and how they say that America is really ran by corporations and businesses. So I think on a smaller level, it's no different. And then I think also when you allow people to give to your campaign, they mean they have the right to brand. It's pretty much like branding you. So, and maybe someone could better expound on that, but my perception is if you give them to my campaign as a PAC, I know we have to sit down first and foremost, get an understanding of what it is you're wanting to do or what kind of message you want to put out, because my message might not be what your message is. And then if you're putting this money out, that means you get to message it, or, you know what I'm saying, because you're spending the money. All I got to do is all I'm doing is reporting it, but you're spending it, making sure the necessary materials get printed, this, that, or the other. So, yeah, I would think someone gets is getting something, looking for something in return. You know, and
Christopher, do you know how the PACs are run? Do you know what they're asking for in return?
Well, I'm just going to say a lot of people give her
Hey, Chris, like, you're low, Chris.
Very low.
Oh, hearing me now?
Oh, not much better.
Got me now?
Just talk loud. No, that's not much better. You're trying to muggle Chris, y'all. Let's see if that's going to get any better. Yo, you're getting worse. What the heck? Listen, y'all, we've been under attack this last week, boy. We got some haters out there, and that's okay. We won't call the haters by name because, you know what, we're not going to give you a platform on Let's Talk for Work. But anyway, every now and then you get a hater or two who wants to throw a little shade, and that's okay. But, yeah, Christopher and me got a lot of it. Christopher, are you, like, in the woods somewhere?
No, I think I got some grease in the whole, you know, the mic receptacles.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
Okay, just talk really loud.
Is it getting better?
That's a little better.
Getting better?
Getting better.
Okay, I think I get this. All right, you hear me now?
There you go.
Okay, yeah. So my whole thing on these PAC things is, you know, if you've seen Sarah Pike posting some videos and everything, you know, a lot of people give her a bad rap, you know, for being obnoxious and out there, you know, the tin hat thing. But she made a point about something, and if you'd really just scheme it out, draw it out on a diagram, what's going on with this PAC money, who it's going from who to who, she called it, it's laundering. It's laundering money, you know, because if you follow the path, you get PACs. You get donations coming from the Basses. Then you get donations coming from the Basses from three different or four different PACs that they've donated a lot of money to. Then what you have on the expenditures is you have everybody sending money to this Nasika Murphy. I mean, that's the big money on all the candidates. And it's all the same donors, all the same PACs, and it's all the same major expenditures. And I just wonder where – I mean, what? It's a racket, man. It's not for the people.
You know, it's kind of like in the church world.
That's my perception.
In the church world, y'all, they move money like that with the preachers. The preacher goes speak at somebody's church, and he'll get $600. And then that same preacher will come preach at his church, and then he'll give him $600. So they just kind of like moving $600 around. I don't know why they do that, but they do it. That's what it sounds like you're saying about the tax. I don't know.
I mean, and the thing is, there's no law about it. I mean, that's their business in the church, but there's laws on this. You know, there's ethics and statutory laws that, you know, and everything that I could see in there, I mean, I'm pretty sure you can draw a line from the statute violations against every single one of the incumbents, you know, with what's going on.
Okay, does anybody have their computer pulled up? Because, y'all, listen, I guess it was a conspiracy today, y'all. So Somebody did not want me to look at the finances because I tried for hours to go to the website of the city of Fort Worth to look up certain candidates and how much money they got. Listen, and it wouldn't let me in. It would not let me in. I wanted to know how much Pamela Bogus got. I wanted, and she's running in nine. I wanted to know the total for Talia Dela Cruz. I wanted to know how much did Jared get, how much did Gina Bivens, Maddie Parker, Michael Crane, Carlos Flores, Alan Blaylock, Rick Herring, Charles Lauterdorf, Jason Ellis, yeah, and Elizabeth Mack. Those are just some of the folks, y'all. I was just trying to be nosy today. And listen, the city of Fort Worth must have put a block on my computer because I could not get in. Can anybody go over there and see the numbers to see what these folks have got? Because it was a conspiracy. Yeah.
It was
an absolute conspiracy.
You know,
huh?
Is Adrian, you after it?
I'm actually not at home.
Okay.
Oh, hold
okay.
on. I can yank it up on my phone real quick.
Okay. Well, then yank it up. And so, listen, y'all, we ain't picking on nobody. You saw how many names I called. So we ain't picking on nobody. And for the record, let's not. Huh?
I would say this too, Carrie. I want people to know, be clear. I'm for help, but if you're gonna determine my messages, no, because one thing about it, like I've said, my goal was to be electable, not to lean on the political divide side. You know how they divide you based on your party or whatever. I want to be electable. I want to be able to let people know my message should resonate across the board to all people, you know? So, yeah. But if you're going to help me, yeah, but I won't let you based on what kind of money you're giving, dictate my message, you know? I'm sorry.
But you know, and I know ain't nothing free. Period, y'all. Listen, if you done got to be 18, you done figured out by now, ain't nothing in life free. So whenever somebody gives you over $100,000, they want something, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying. It just is what it is. I mean, somebody give you $5 today, they want something for the $5. It's like, you know, yeah. So I don't think it's any different in the PAC world. They're not going to align themselves with someone who is not in total agreement with what they're saying. They're just not going to give you $100,000 and they say, oops, we don't agree. We the Bible says, how do two walk together unless they agree? So let's just use common sense here. So for all those people like Talia Dela Cruz who said they got me wrong, I'm not with no PAC. I'm not being endorsed by Tim O'Hare, well, you kind of sort of are in a pack or working with a pack, and you kind of are sort of being endorsed by Tim O'Hare, which is a conversation she and I had, and she completely denied it. And this week, a total revelation came out that she, in fact, is. I don't get it. I don't know what's going on with Dela Cruz's.
So there's... Uh-huh. It's accessible, but I'm not, like, it's hard to figure out because it's just scattered. It's just some – Maddie Parker's is pretty tight. You can do the math on that. But when you start getting into, like I said, I've looked at Gina Bivens, and it's corrections and handwritten, and there's decimal points and zeros missing. And, you know, I just can't believe a city secretary would put a stamp of official record on something that's got so many omissions and incomplete – entries.
Well, let's just go with the total amount. How much did Bogus get this whole time? How much was she able to raise in her campaign? Because she's run for judge before, but she didn't win. So this is her second time around, and she's running to be a city council person in District 9.
Yeah, I've seen some postings and some records that people posted. You know, some receipts on it. And it gets, I think Pop Bodges is getting up there to $200,000 in total contributions. However, you got to think, anyway, we can talk about the in-kind, but there's some discrepancies that are pointing out. people are saying, oh, you, they did. There's some people that said there's some math, and there's like $85,000 that's unaccounted for. I don't know how validated that is or anything, but.
Wait a minute. Who? Wait. Breaking news. Is that Adrian was saying last week? Breaking news. Who has $85,000 that's unaccounted for?
I'm just saying that it was put out there on some postings that, that some people said that they did the math, but, you know, you can't verify that. Somebody just needs to, when this is all over, you know, tomorrow, we'll just sit down and do the math and then let them wear it out.
Who did they allegedly say has $85,000 that's not accounted for?
I don't know. I heard some things allegedly, some people throwing out some allegations that Bob just had some discrepancies, but I don't have any way to. We'll have to just sit there and do the math and validate it, because I'm not going off what somebody says. You know, there's a lot of back and forth going on this issue on the internet, on Facebook pages.
Right, but they're saying to the beat of $85,000.
I'm sure I thought that out there. There was an 85. Somebody said there was an $85,000 something deficit between in-kind contribution. The math just didn't add up. In-kind and monetary. You know, that there was a missing. There's a missing figure when you add up the total.
Pamela Boggs, we'd like to hear from you tonight, girl. We don't want to put no misinformation out there, and this is all alleged, but I hadn't seen that. I'm sorry. This is the first time hearing that this for real. But that's very interesting. $85,000 is a lot of money. I'm just saying. So, that's interesting.
I want to, you know, now we on tax, you know, I would also let people remind. They say, "Well, they just talking," but you got to realize a lot of what people get in return is through votes, you know. And if a council member, whether incumbent or someone who's running for office, is getting, receiving campaign funding, you know, large amounts, you got to consider that it's going to come back if they're elected or if they're the incumbent and they stay in office. People got to realize that. You won't see how that individual who gave them the money is going to get their return, and it's usually through the votes. It's usually through an agenda item that comes through the council that they vote on. And people don't know that's what it's for, you know. Because people get so caught up in the political side of it. They forget that after the political stuff, that's when the real business starts to happen.
Let me unpack one dimension that I see very consistent with several of the incumbents. What you have with these last 30 days of all these PACs flooding money into these campaigns. What I notice is very consistent with Beck, with Bodges, kind of Maddie Parker. You know, Maddie Parker showed up to a few forums, but it's really the interface, the very anemic and biased interface that we've seen with the forums and everything, to where there's no pressure, there's no hardball going on, and then people tap out and walk away, and they say every time that they ain't on the team, they say they got to go to a T-ball game or something, you know?
Right.
So what you're seeing at the very – so we hadn't heard nothing out – no, there was no vibe from Bodges. There was no vibe from Beck. There was no vibe from really anything out there other than the – you know. But what these packs, what I see is, especially with the ones going on with the recent thing with Italia and Bodges, was all of these in-kind contributions. What happened was at the very last minute, they, like within 30 days of the election, these PACs come in with in-kind contributions, and what they're doing, if you look at the itemization of the expense of the in-kind contributions, they describe T-shirts, opposition research, calling, texting, all of the legwork that we weren't getting, that these candidates weren't with, I mean, they weren't coming, they weren't doing for themselves. So basically what I see is the PACs pretty much saw how anemic their campaigns were, and they said, oh my God, we're desperate because they just ain't getting, they just ain't got the, I don't know, they ain't doing the legwork, so we're just going to step in and say we'll take over the campaign. And then what they do is they spend that $100,000 on in-kind contributions, and what you see is they're the ones that are pretty much doing the whole campaign, but you still don't get any messaging that's from the horse's mouth, you know? You're getting the spin that they're consultants that are paid by the PAC to give you.
Well, let me ask you this. I remember the Forward Excellence PAC. What was the name of the other PAC?
Accountable Government. That was the one down there in Dripping Springs that some people have associated with the Bass family donating to that. And it's a law firm that owns it. So it's a proxy.
Can you stand still wherever you are? That's better.
So, yeah. So, this one down there, Accountable Government PAC, is from Dripping Springs, and then somebody did the legwork and said it's registered. The registered agent is some law firm, LPLLC, but you know there's no name entitled to it. And then you would just have to go through records and websites. But that's the one they said. It's some money laundering because the donations are coming from the Bass family to this lawyer who owns a PAC, and then it's going to the candidates. What kind of pinball is that?
Not a good one.
No.
And you know what? Some people may say, well, what does all that really matter? Well, it matters because if you are coming in questionable, let's just say it like that, you know, if you are someone who is not able to, you know, stand on your own platform and whatever your belief systems are without being aligned with someone who may not necessarily agree with you, but they have money, or you may not necessarily agree with everything they're saying, but they have money. And if they are able to persuade you to come to their side because they have money, then that's not a good sign, because as a city council person, somewhere in the near future, someone else may offer you some money to vote a certain way. And if you are influenced easily by money, then that's not a good thing. I'd rather run a poor man's campaign and stand on what my belief system is than be well-financed and be following what somebody else's belief system is, if that makes sense. That's all I'm saying. But go ahead, Chris.
Well, I would just say that what it goes to me is the very nucleus, the very heart of what the cry from the dissident citizens in Fort Worth, what are the two words that people keep hammering when they go to, I mean, Mr. James and Adrian and Bob and everything. There's two words that we just keep getting echoed at us. Transparency and accountability. And that is what people want. That's it. Mm-hmm. Because you get no traction. There's no accountability without transparency. So we can't hold, there's no purpose to even the whole reason that the state law requires that these city websites disclose these campaign finances, the reason that they have these forms for all these contributions is so that the public can evaluate what some of the conflicts so questions can be raised. And if we've got this deceptive practice going on here with money laundering and people trying, then how can you expect any of these people who are coming into office on the basis of that kind of machine, how can you expect to go to city council and talk to them about transparency and accountability? That's what's pathetic to me.
Well, we're going to say alleged money laundering, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hey, Terry, I want to be clear that a candidate receiving campaign finances, you know, go, you know, support for your campaign. It's all good. The only issue I have is if that money is intended to compromise you and put you in a position, like you say, like we were discussing, put you in a position that's not you, put you in a light that's not you. Because once you allow yourself to go out on that, that's what you become. And that's what people are going to look for. So, and not only people looking at your campaign finances, I mean, or who's giving to you, how much they're giving to you, think about the business interests in developers. They sitting on the sideline trying to see as well. So I feel like they know, okay, I get a particular candidate in this district that's speaking a certain way. Hey, you know what? Just let everything cool down. All right, let's try to get this pushed through. We got this. And the candidate don't even will be unaware of it. What's going on? You think you're just voting in something for the purpose of, you know, doing a good deed, but you're really just helping those who don't have your interest or your constituents' interest in heart.
Clear it up, what you're saying, and to clear up what Adrian's trying to say is, you look at the campaign finances and you say, you click on Gina Bivens in 8 days. That means within the last 2 or 3 weeks, within the last 30 days before the election, the final filing for the 8 days before the election, what you see is an in-kind donation on Gina Bivens's, from Trinity Lakes LLC. And if you do a little bit of searching, Trinity Lakes LLC is the registered agent and proprietor of that LLC is Kenneth Newell. He's a family court judge. And he gave her, it says, $13,200-something for in-kind contributions, but there's no description and there's no that's it. It just says in-kind contribution, $13,200-something. Well, if you've got an in-kind description, in-kind without any description, it could be anything. So we're left to speculate. Did he pay for her to go on a Caribbean cruise? Shit.
Oh.
And here's where it goes. Trinity Lakes LLC is the big driver for the master plan over there in the east side development that's going to go into that quarry over there. And so you're giving a candidate $13,200 a couple of weeks before an election, and you don't expect people to ask questions, and you don't have to be transparent. You don't feel like taking the initiative and showing the integrity to your citizens what exactly this is. You just try to fly it under the radar?
Well, you know what? Look, I'll be brief. I'll be brief on it. It's already in our faces. If people are not involving themselves in what's going on, then it to them, it just, we're talking, we might be angry about something. Or we don't feel like our person is going to succeed or win. Listen. Think about this law firm, Limeburger and whatever they call themselves, the ones who be telling you, sending you notices that you got warrants.
Oh, yeah, collections.
Right?
Collections, exactly.
Yeah, so they give to all the candidates. Now,
yeah.
I'm sure for them to be able to mail you out something telling you got fines, this, that, or the other, they had to get the city's okay. The city had to vote them in. Hey, we're going
to
use them to...
They had to approve them as a contract.
Right. So my thing is this. Is that not a conflict of interest? I mean, come on. What about the other law firms who probably wanted to do business on behalf of the city but didn't want to compromise their integrity? They just said, hey, let us do this, X, Y, Z, you know? But, again, this politics. They say politics is dirty. This is, you know, so...
I agree. And you know what I'm saying?
And what about a mayor? What about a mayor? Just to clear it up, my final point on this topic, and we can move on. What about a mayor, Maddie Parker, whose husband works for a government lobbying firm who represents all kinds of corporate interests in Fort Worth? So he's representing companies like Gulfstream, who has operations that require decisions to be made by vote at city council, and I mean, it's just you got a lobbying firm, and this lobbying firm is paid to influence. It would be a whole different story if they weren't married and living together, but that's joint income. So his income is tied to the mayor's income in their family enterprise. So if you've got corporate entities giving to her husband, the lobbyist, and what kind of pillow talk is going on there? Hey, if you approve this, then these guys, if you don't approve this, then the client's going to dump me and I'm going to lose a $100,000 contract, or vice versa. If you approve this, then these clients are going to increase, they're going to give me a bonus or something. I don't
know.
I'm not making that allegation, but you cannot deny it unless you are transparent about it, fully transparent.
It's the same with all these real estate people on the council. You know, you are, you know, making deals in real estate, and you're also voting on developments that's coming into the city.
Yes.
That can get real tricky.
Yes.
And so
and
there's
real quick,
a lot of
apartments.
Yeah. Oh,
the
yeah,
county.
Yeah, but y'all be cutting me off. Excuse me.
Oh,
let me even leave.
Yeah.
That's a conflict of freaking interest. That's a conflict of interest. If you are a real estate developer and my business intersects with yours, and then I'm voting on your project, that's a conflict of interest. And that is too much of that going on in Fort Worth, where nobody is checking the people that sit on the dais and who sit in the mayoral seat for how does your businesses outside of the council intersect with the votes that you're doing downtown. And that
and
just shouldn't be happening.
And the other aspect that you see going on very pervasively is private citizens such as Bill Meadows, okay, who is on the Fort Worth Report editorial board. He's donating $2,500 all the time to Maddie Parker and several others. And here's the thing. He's appointed to boards that are nominated by the city council on the transport, the DFW airport board, TRE board. Somebody $2,500 every couple of months for their campaign, and then it comes around. So, hey, you're going to be my first consideration for nomination to some board where you're going to be able to influence all kinds of you're going to be able to draw the reports that are going to come to city council for us to make decisions on how we spend grant money.
And so goes it with the Four Star Telegram. The Four Star Telegram gets a lump sum amount from the city every year. Bob Willoughby brought this up at a city council meeting not long ago. I don't remember if it's $300,000 or $250,000, but they get that every year from the city of Fort Worth for, I guess, like if, you know, you look at people who have divorces or people who have foreclosures or whatever the listings is that they list for the city. So they get that money guaranteed in a contract with the city. That said, we know that every time there's an election, they always endorse the incumbent. So, again, conflict of interest. Just a whole bunch of just crossing the line with business downtown, but nobody ever says anything. See them?
And that's why the Star Telegram is in the space it's in. It's no longer relevant, you know. And shout out to County Judge for throwing a shot today, letting them know, hey, y'all just typing. So they more or less, like you said, endorsing comments, and you got to look at what they're reporting on. I think they, when they do report, they try to stay away from, because they have to, because once other people start exposing things, then they have to get in the fray and start exposing it. But as long as nobody's talking about it, you won't hear about it. But once somebody starts bringing it up, then they got to run a story. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, And what we've seen with the Fort Worth Report, what we see from the Fort Worth Report, the first 2 weeks of election season reporting, is them trying to take the legs out of all of the challenges. Before we heard anything, they still haven't pressed. They just got in following the show for the last 3 or 4 weeks. We have a Friday show. And then it seems like the topics verbatim are coming out in a shadow report on Monday morning from the Fort Worth Report talking about the PAC money and talking about the stuff that was a... But so that thing is, I thought it was before any of that took place. If you're going to ask questions about people's criminal records that are facetious, just irrelevant, really. I mean, minor, a divorce that didn't even, a divorce issue, personal problems, light misdemeanors, and you're going to put that out there in the air, trying to take out the challengers. Well, why don't you do a press report on why is your husband, why is the mayor's husband, you got to also ask the question, why is the mayor's husband the premier government lobbyist in downtown Fort Worth?
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, y'all.
They
doing too much. Like the young people say, they doing too much. But you can go, listen, we are one of the few out there that call it like we see it. And we don't pick on, and to be clear for people who think we're picking on downtown, no, we're not picking on downtown. We're reporting on downtown. There's a difference. And so if what we say is factual, we ain't spinning nothing. We just telling you the news, and then we're telling you what we think of the news. That's recording. I mean, with a little editorial. But a lot of people seem to think like, you know, we shouldn't say this about this candidate, or we shouldn't say that about that candidate. Well, if we're going to be told what to do, that's called bought media, and we're not bought over here. Nobody's saying.
And the other question you got to ask is that there's been some stuff looked up about Maddie Parker possibly being worth personal wealth of $10 million. Well, let me ask you how somebody who has been working as an aide, a political aide for the Speaker of the House of Representatives down in Austin. So what, that's, let's say $80,000 or something. I'm not sure what the specifics are. Then she's been drawing a government. How are you drawing a government paycheck, right? For 15 years, and you all of a, and now you're after 15 years, you're one of the multimillionaires in the city of Fort Worth. After you work for the Speaker of the House, after you work for the Congresswoman, the House of Representatives, Kay Granger, and after you work as the chief of staff for city council. I mean, I don't think that the math from those, you know. So there you go. Some of that's got to be coming from the lobbyist husband, you know.
Well, don't start me to lie. None of it makes any sense. None of it makes a bit of sense. And the fact that there's nobody to ask any questions of, because, you know, everything downtown is hush hush. So you can't even do a FOIA request on the city business and get an answer today. And you know, I think that's another reason for those who may not be paying attention. That's another reason why we need to shake up downtown, because since this administration has been in place, there's nobody who answers the phone downtown. When you put in a FOIA request, they challenge everything. They got to go ask the attorney general, do they have to release it? You know, I mean, when you go to city hall to speak, you know, basically they laugh at the speakers. You know, in so many ways, they discourage you from coming. The mayor's office may even call you and ask you, can they help you, why you're coming to city hall rather than allow you to come and speak before the people. So there's a lot of things that have gone on with this administration that may, you know, be a good reason why some new people in there might be a good thing, you know, because we're talking about, you know, the way they change business. There's never been so many changes made so fast. You know, the way that they ask for raises, you know, in 8 months, even though they hadn't even proven themselves. The lack of transparency and accountability, like Chris said, it's just so many things that lets you know that maybe a change is a good thing. But y'all agree with that?
I would agree with that. And let me point out one more thing. At the work session on Tuesday before the comment section, that which Maddie Parker didn't show up for, there was an exchange, and I'll give credit to Gina Bivens because she put out sort of the people's question about these surveillance systems that the police is coming for, you know, we haven't seen the price tag yet, but it sounds pretty extensive and pretty expensive as far as getting these new camera systems and mic detectors and this spy tech that they want to give the police, the flock cameras. They want to expand this, the Big Brother in Fort Worth. Well, what Gina Bivens put out there posed the question for the council to discuss was, well, she said in some of these cities, such as Chicago, and I know New Orleans is another one, but she didn't mention it. She just mentioned Chicago, that they've implemented this stuff years back. It's been going on for, I think, 10 years or so. They put all of this stuff out there, and they've tried it. And what's happening is the federal courts are ruling that there's intrusion, that this technology, you know, there's abuses going on, and so what people are doing is they're coming back at the city and they're litigating this stuff, and it's causing a lot of money for the city to defend it, and then so they spend all of this money, and then there's an injunction that tells them to knock it down, you know, you build a tower spy cam to spy on everybody, and then the court says tear it down. So you spent $26 million, such as the county did with the tech share program for the last 5 or 6 or so years, and now they're saying tear it down. It doesn't work. And so responsibility. And if you've got a city council member, and I give Bivens credit for trying to get it discussed, but what we heard from Maddie Parker was, well, I don't mean to be crass. I'm not quoting her, but I don't want to be crass or sound this, that, whatever, but I'm offended, or I'm somewhat, or the spirit of offense took her over. She says, I'm not going to try to compare Fort Worth to Chicago because we know what that is. And we have city attorneys. We have city attorneys that are prepared to freaking defend that, you know, to sink their teeth into these, any challenges from the citizens who claim that they might be constitutionally violated by the city's intrusive surveillance system. And we've already had cases being, one last point, we've already had Chief Fitzgerald getting scapegoated and gaslighted and fired because he was coming after that issue of the city inappropriately doing searches on people, and he was talking to the FBI, and they gave him the boot the same day he was supposed to meet with the FBI about that issue. They fired him. So,
you know, under this administration, it very much feels like a police state in Fort Worth. You know, everything is, you know, 80% of the budget goes to police. However, you know, response times are low. You know, we see so many disparities in the way certain sides of town are treated versus other sides of town, how certain over-policing goes on in certain areas versus other areas. And so things have really shifted a lot to the point that you can't even deny that it doesn't feel balanced anymore. And so I just don't know that more technology is what's needed. I think we just need better police officers and a better police force and better leadership, in my opinion.
True.
Adrian, you had said that the first quarter crime report came out. Did you find it?
It's amazing that the chief was there Tuesday night, and I don't take credit for that, but I did call him out while I was there. You know, hey chief, where's the quarterly crime report? You haven't, and just so happened they released it the next day.
Whoa!
So it's actually up on the Fort Worth Police Department's website.
Really?
Percentage-wise, no, I don't see much of a change. I wouldn't say it's changed percentage-wise. It's just certain areas, I could pull it up real quick, but certain areas, they look the same, you know. I think we're getting a lot of, I'm telling you what's going on in the city, we're getting a lot of kidnappings going on. They reported 18, they've reported 18 murders, but compared to last year, but I think it's possibly more than that, you know, because you got to think about it. They just put this information out, so why did you sit on it so long, you know?
They gonna make us start going back to the newspapers and start counting for ourselves. Come on, y'all. That don't add up.
It's more than 18 people been shot in you're saying from January through April?
Yeah, and what they need
according
to do
to
is
report.
What they need to do is let the OPOM handle that freaking reporting and stop letting Neil Noakes manipulate it.
Mm. Or an independent agent.
Yeah.
No, it's been more than 18. Are you saying 18 murders total? No, that does, those numbers don't even sound right.
I'm pulling it up now. They compare it to I'm pulling it up now. Give me a second, y'all. I just pulled it up.
Because we know the mayor just told us that the crime was down 13%, and everything...
Violent crime.
Violent crime. Right.
So
you're
listen,
right.
So murder and negligent, non-negligent manslaughter and negligent manslaughter, showing 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got murder and, I'm showing 18. So...
For 4 months, it's probably been 18 people killed per month, but they're saying in four
killed
months, only 18 people.
That's on the report in January through March. That's on the report in January through March. That's the, They only saying 18.
It's 18 people died a month.
Citywide, listen, first quarter, listen here. First quarter, crime report. Citywide Group A, they got them classified in groups. So Group A increased 0.8% in the first quarter. Crimes against persons increased 4.4% overall. And then, they got different, classifications of that. There was a murder, they say it was a murder decrease in non-negligent manslaughter crimes against property decreased 4.6 overall. That's just, but crimes against society increased 32.9%. With increases in drug and narcotic violations, gambling, pornography, and obscene material, and prostitution offenses. So they consider those crimes against society.
And I'll tell you one other thing that they do is they use the juvenile offender, the people who are juvenilely offended. What they do, because theoretically, a juvenile offender doesn't necessarily – I'm not real sure how to specify it, but when you get adjudicated. It's called you're an adjudicated youth, but that it doesn't correspond unless you get certified as an adult. Unless they charge you, unless it's an adult, they arrest you over 16.5 for murder. Then you get if they charge you as an adult, then technically so. If anybody under 16.5 commits a murder, then I'm just kind of saying that kind of flies under the radar too because they don't consider that something murder, or homicide.
That's that new math that they're teaching. Sorry.
Yeah.
Murder is murder. And so if a juvenile under 16 or somebody 25 commits the murder, it's still a murder.
Right.
And I think the people want to know it and seen it reported like that. But anyway, we know that the crime is not down 13%. That's just not true. And anybody that believes that, you're believing that we're in Mayberry, and we are not. This is not Mayberry by any stretch of the imagination. Y'all listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. And tonight we're talking about we're down under the last 24 hours before the election for the new city council and the new mayor. Did I just say new mayor? Oh, my God. For mayor. So who knows right now? Let me finish. Right now we know that the polls are showing that just over 5% of the people have voted in Tarrant County. So it's any man's race right now. These numbers are, I don't know, I don't think they've ever been this low. I don't remember them being this low in 2021. And so we're encouraging everybody, get out tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. to go and vote for your candidate of choice, from mayor to city council, because literally you should vote like your life depends on it, because it does. Everything, your whole livelihood depends on you getting to the polls tomorrow. Take a friend, take a neighbor, take a coworker. Take somebody to the poll with you, because it's just that important.
And District 8, I would go ahead and throw it out there. If anybody from District 8, y'all really need to wake up at 5, 4 in the morning and get active and get people out, because if you want to say a Tatiana, then you need to go to the polls and say a Tatiana and vote for change.
Well, 8 is already secured. Now, we're not talking about District 8. District 8 is already secured.
I'm talking
about
for mayor. There's a lot of people. The turnout in 8 is really low.
Well, I'm just saying, be clear, Nettles is unopposed, the council person, so 8
yeah.
is in terms of voting for mayor. Gotcha. Y'all,
right.
You know, District 2, District 3, and District 8 are unopposed. So that's Flores, Crane, and Nettles. And so they literally have to go to the polls, cast one vote, and they are secured in their seats. So the rest of the races, from the mayor to District 4, District 5, District 6, District 7, District 9, and the two new districts, 10 and 11, is any man's race right now if y'all don't go to the polls, because it's looking really funny. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, where people just are – this city has beat people down, so they are just totally uninterested in who the new leadership will be. I can't believe it. But there's no – the website, if you go to the website, there's no big sign up saying go vote. You know, did y'all notice that the city's website, there's no big sign that says go vote? Nothing on the front.
Yeah,
page
and the main – and here we are the day before, and I didn't see anything – I didn't see Star Telegram or Fort Worth Report really trying to rally the just go vote message either. You
pay
know?
Attention, y'all. That's crazy. Why would I'm not saying they're suppressing it, but it's kind of like if you don't know, you don't know. Like nobody's going to encourage you to get out and vote if you are not aware that voting is going on. There's no big signs at the voting places to tell people come vote. I mean, really, what the heck is going on? So
well, you know,
if they're
not able to get dirt on nobody, they're really not reporting nothing. So they're looking for dirt. You see how they were ready to go after Jared, but at the end of the day, shit, if you ain't getting dirt on nobody, like Chris brought up the ordeal dealing with the mayoral candidate, you can dig a hole for me. But guess what? You're gonna be putting the dirt back on that hole, because I can stand on anything that as it relates to my past. So when you dig that hole, thinking I'm gonna jump in it, saying we buried this guy, he didn't. No, come on, let's talk about it. When we get to talking about it, you go ahead and take that same shovel and put that dirt back where you got it from, and I'll be gone while you're doing it though. So, but yeah, I think they more or less they don't have anything to. Because, see, you got to realize this, y'all. Another thing about this political game, they use a lot of fear-mongering. That's why they can take people's message and spin it. Like, I'm not apologetic, but I had to say this, though, because I don't want our community or communities that they deem as having issues with law enforcement as anti-police or defund the police. I've made it clear. We don't have issues with law enforcement. We need law enforcement,
right,
just like everybody else needs law enforcement. We want their protection. Mm-hmm. We want them to do their job. We want them to be accountable. And I've never heard nobody in Fort Worth say defund the police. Now, I keep saying that because I'm like, let me know if you've heard somebody. I've never heard nobody in Fort Worth say defund the police, but they got a lot of candidates. Oh, well, this person is for a safer community. Well, who's not? Who's not for a safety community? But we already know y'all don't want to talk about the truth that the city, the police department, and the community are divided by one entity. One entity is keeping us divided, and that's the POA. And I will continue saying it. I will continue saying the POA is keeping all three of us, keeping the community, the law enforcement, and the city divided. They're keeping us divided. So.
That's pretty sad.
I would go back to the PAC thing and say, in my analysis, that is the big subterfuge in this election that the press, the mainstream media, they don't want to talk about. That's why you had all of these PACs come in at the last minute, because one of their messages is, you know, free for all, free for all policing, which, you know, we want to support, we want to fund, we want to do everything the police tells us to do. Fine. But what we have to understand is the transparency and accountability issues and morbid integrity default by the leadership in the police department. And that's all we're talking about. We ain't talking about dumping on police. What we're talking about is when a police officer commits murder, charge him for murder. When a police officer gets caught with dope, charge him for freaking dope. You know, just the same way. We don't want any more double standards. We expect a higher standard of our police department. And if you want to go out and talk about how they are, then let's start combating the fact that we have sex offenders. We're hearing on a regular basis the delinquency going on and the lack of professional proficiency and the lack of competence going on in the police department, such as we got with Aaron Dean, who failed his psychological eval, and he got a freaking he got to take the back door with that. And what happens a year later? He shoots a Tatiana Jefferson.
Let me say this.
That's what we're talking about.
Let me be clear. If I went into Macy's today and I saw the cashier stealing, I probably would, you know, wrestle with whether or not I would tell on her, because first of all, I don't know her. And so I see her doing something that I feel is wrong. So if someone else, let's just say, decided they're going to tell on this young lady because they too saw her stealing, they're saying that you are not supposed to be doing that. So therefore, I'm going to turn you in because you're dishonest. The same with the police department. If we have dishonest police, if we have violent police, if we have police that are, you know, basically pulling their weapons or you know, involved in police brutality, they should be held to the same standard anyone else who has a job should be held, you know, too. And so we for some reason, whenever it comes to the police and somebody holding them accountable, it becomes this real sticky issue where, you know, everybody's divided on whether or not it should happen or not. No, the truth be told, we should want bad officers off the street. And we should, you know, champion for good police officers to get good pay because they are doing their job. And it's just that simple. And if anybody makes it an argument about anything else, it's just not the case. Everybody knows that we need police. Everybody that I know speaks of defunding the police is not speaking of taking police off the street. They're talking about no one wants a militarized police department with tanks rolling down the street and officers, you know, with assault weapons, you know, rolling up on people. So don't let that argument fool you. People use that as a trigger. When they want to, you know, divert your attention to another way, they bring up the issue of defunding the police. But ain't nobody talking about getting rid of police, because that's never been an issue. And so it was always used as a way for people to be divisive. Whenever I hear somebody saying defund the police, I always look at them sideways, like, is this going to be a situation where somebody's trying to be divisive and using that as a trigger to divide people? So don't be fooled. So anybody who's saying pro-police, hold on. Anybody who's saying pro-police, what are you anti? Because if you are pro police, what does that mean? You clearly need to define that. And then what are you anti? Because we're all anti crime, except for the criminals. And so nobody's saying any different. So yeah, a lot of double messages out there or mixed messages out there, as far as I'm concerned.
And that's what we see happening is they give the police. Here's how a scenario hypothetical. But it's really it tells the story about how what we see happening a lot. So somebody gets pulled over, and they ain't happy about it. So they're sitting in their car. They deal with the cop. The cop comes and gives them the ticket. Cop walks away, and they say, F you. Well, the cop gets freaking gets himself pissed off. So then he decides to go ahead and punch the dude, and, you know, throw a blow. Well, if anybody on the street, if I walk by somebody on the street, a civilian and a civilian confrontation arises under those same circumstances, and I tell somebody, F you, if you're at school, if somebody says,
you're going in and out, Chris.
Yeah. If somebody walks by you on the sidewalk and you tell them F you and they punch you in the face, that's not a – I mean, that's assault. Forget it. F you, saying F you to somebody ain't illegal. And that's what happens is they give the police any kind of excuse. Oh, well, they got to deal with the sorry-ass bastards out there. Well, somebody's going to be upset if they got a ticket, if they disagree with it, and they say F you. Let it – just like with Maddie Parker getting called out on what she did. You know, she wants to sit there and deprive a person of their rights because she felt offended. The spirit of offense is bad news for people, man.
You know what I think? I think I did one protest in my whole life, and the person midway through the protest used the term F12. And I immediately thought, it's time to remove myself from this person. And the reason I did, because I realized it's an inflammatory term. You know what I'm saying? So if you got a cop who's a hothead, then all of a sudden it becomes a confrontation. If you got a cop
right.
who lets that roll off, then it's just, you know, some cuss words that were said at a cop. And so I just think that's the difference. And I think depending upon who the characters are in the story, the outcome may be one way for one group and another way for another group. But I'm with you. If someone said to me, F you, it's just what it is. Okay, that's how you say it. I get it. So I just think there's no reason to beat somebody up or do anything, you know, to shoot someone or take someone to jail because they said F you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we're getting off at. Well, the jails are overcrowded. Like somebody was telling me that the jails are full. The Sheriff Wayburn don't want nobody down there in his jail because they told you F you. He
right.
doesn't. Yeah. They got nothing Carrie, going on.
I was just going to say about our favorite group. I'm still trying to figure out our favorite group, one of our favorite groups who love to interfere in our elections, the POA. I'm trying to still figure out what chaos are they talking about at City Hall, because they said that the three they endorsed on the Charlie's Angels, they endorsed for the commercial. They said that's in the chaos at City Hall. Do they not know that the person at the top that they're endorsing, Maddie Parker, she's part of that chaos? Did they forget?
Oh, yeah.
She's a big, I love that word, Chris Citrifuge, in the chaos. She's a big part of that chaos. So what chaos are they trying to end? They're afraid that they're not going to get their way. They've been, you know, the POA has been getting their way. Now that
I didn't finish. Yeah.
Now that people are saying earlier. Uh-huh.
So the subterfuge here with this election, with all of this pack coming in late because I didn't polish it off, we have to understand that the meet and confer agreement, which is a big legal term in contractual ways, and what that meet and confer is basically telling everybody it's a loophole for accountability. It's basically telling you give us the POA the authority to, you know, all these to toggle everything at city council that has to do with police. We get the joystick. Give us the joystick for 4 years. That's what's coming up next summer. So this city council that you elect is going to be the one that determines how far we get with transparency and accountability in the next next 5 years, because I think they only negotiate that every 5 years.
Pay attention, y'all. Pay attention. So who you elect will determine how that contract goes. And so anyone who's probably taking Fort Worth POA donations FYI, will probably vote whichever way the police department wants them to vote. So let's talk about who's getting Fort Worth POA donations. Maddie Parker. She got their endorsement, and she got $10,000 for them from them. And they also did a nice video for her and Bogus and Dela Cruz. We know Charles Latterdor has been endorsed by them. We know that Macy
Martinez.
Hill. I'm sorry, let me call out these districts so y'all are not confused. Maddie Parker's running for mayor. She's been endorsed by them. Charles Latterdor, he's running in District 4. Dela Cruz, Atalia Dela Cruz, she's running in 6. Macy Hill, who's running in 7. Pamela Boggage, who's running in 9. Alan Blaylock, who's running in 10. And Jeanette Martinez, who's running in 11. All these folks have been endorsed by the POA. So when that contract comes on the table next year, let's count these votes, y'all, if these people get back in. That's Maddie 1, Latterdor 2, Dela Cruz 3, Macy Hill 4, Pamela Boggess 5, Alan Blaylock 6, and Jeanette Martinez 7. That's enough to get them where they're trying to go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Kerry. That's it. Because you know Crane and Flores is going to jump on it. So that's nine of the that's 9 of the 11. So there you go.
Yep. There you go.
There you go. So how can we fix y'all keep talking about crime. Y'all not concerned about crime. That's why y'all not putting the effort and the energy to develop in certain areas, allow money to flow in certain areas. They're not concerned about crime. Crime is we know crime is one of those business entities that continues to keep people employed and keep, you know what I'm saying, keep people living on the hog, you know. So they're not concerned about crime. So again, I had pledged, like I say, we got to get the elect the mayor. We're gonna put it up for a vote again. If it don't get if it doesn't pass the smell test that time, guess what? It's going on the ballot. And we're gonna let the voters decide. Which it should have been a voters decision anyway, because the Race and Culture Task Force, they are the ones who made the recommendation. That was the community speaking. There wasn't no the Fort Worth Task Force on Race and Culture. I got the report in front of me, you know. I didn't go, but they made these recommendations. This is the community, the same people that elects the council, the mayor. So you're gonna keep crap. That just lets us know you're crapping on the community. You don't really care about the community. You just want to go through the motions. Just going through the motions. We acting like we care, but in our hearts, we don't care. And I feel bad, y'all. Truly, the staff do not get enough credit, because the staff are the ones, the men and women of the staff that makes these council members shine. They're not shining. I'm just using that as a talking point. That makes them shine and be able to do what they're doing. They don't get enough credit. You know, the staff is, you know.
I agree. Now, let's talk about these races. You know, just in case you happen to be on the fence, have not done your own research, and you just happen to trust Let's Talk Fort Worth to tell you what they think, let's go there tonight. So we know in the mayor's race, you got Ken Bowen. Wait a minute. Someone's telling me I attempted to call. Man, see, this phone system keeps jacking with me. It says, hello, Kerry. I attempted to call in using the number you provided, and a message came up saying that I will be charged 1 cent per minute unless I hang up now.
Hey, go ahead. Call in. I'm doing it now. I do it every week. Go ahead. Call in. I do it every week.
Hey, girl, listen. Go ahead and pay the 1 cent a minute. We won't keep you on but a minute. We'll let you. 1 cent a minute, if we keep you 15 minutes, is what? Going to be 15 cents? Right?
Yeah.
So call in.
And I'll cash at you.
Yo, listen, y'all. Listen. Anybody want to call in tonight, I'll pay the 1 cent back to you for however long I have you on here. Because we don't want 15 cents to keep you from calling in tonight. So listen, if you have a question or a comment tonight and you're concerned about the 1 cent a minute that this phone system is going to charge you, and by the way, y'all, that does not go in my bank account. That's your cell phone provider charging you to be on a conference call, because these are considered conference calls. But trust me, it's been stated in the past that goes into Carrie's pocket, and that does not, that's your cell phone provider charging you. I think T-Mobile and everything under T-Mobile charges people for conference calls. But if you call in tonight and we just happen to charge you 30 cents, I will reimburse you. So I would love to hear from you tonight about this election. But y'all, back to these races. Okay, so we know in the mayor's race, we got Ken Bowens Jr., we got Allison Kennedy, we got Jennifer Castillo, we got Adrian Devine Smith, and we got Maddie Parker. Now, Adrian's on the phone for anybody who's not paying attention or is in the, you know, in the back and can't hear. Adrian's on the phone. So where we're at, y'all, with these races is, like I said, just a little over 5% has voted. So, and that's in all of Tarrant County. So the numbers are really low. I think it was, what, 60,000 people, y'all, have voted so far? Gerald's laughing. And so that's it. And so it's any man's race,
that,
so you need to get out. You need to get out and vote. Please get out and vote.
That clearly, that 60,000 number is countywide. What we figured out the other day in early voting was like 24,000 people have voted for the actual city municipal races.
That part. So in the mayor's race, I'm seeing this right now because we did our own little poll. If you go to Let's Talk Forward page, Facebook page, we did our own little poll, and Maddie Parker definitely ain't getting 50%. As a matter of fact, Maddie Parker was not looking like she was the declared winner. In fact, she placed, but it was not at the top of the list. So I'm still seeing the way that my poll on Let's Talk Fort Worth is going, like I called it before, it's a three-man race right now. Jennifer Castillo, Adrian, and Maddie Parker, it could be any man's race. That's the way I see it so far. But, of course, we're not for the incumbent getting back in because we don't see Maddie Parker as good for the city. Now, this is my personal opinion, and I will stand by that. Maddie Parker is not good for Fort Worth. Anytime your own party says stand down and you have lost all of your endorsements for two, that says that the general consensus is that you do not return. Now, do y'all agree with that or is it just me?
I agree. There was the breaking news on, I think, a report that came out yesterday evening. I don't know what the source was, Fort Worth Reporter or Star Telegram. But they were saying that Maddie Parker took a pretty big hit at the State House yesterday because Tinder Hope shut down something that she went down there to advocate and lobby with the State House about getting some kind of subsidized grant money to have this Taylor Sheridan to turn Fort Worth into a film into the Texas Hollywood. You know,
mm-hmm.
sort of a they want to boost the film industry in Fort Worth, and one of the aspects of it that was out there was that this new that the Texas A&M college that they're talking about building, they're gonna put they want to put a big film program in there. So what she went down there to do was about this and there's some other stuff that's bouncing around, but I'm not gonna get into it because it's not verified. With this Taylor mm-hmm. Sheridan individual, but mm-hmm. he was him and Maddie Parker paired up and tried to get this subsidy. Well, Tinderholt supposedly shut it down, and so it's another failure. You know, so that's probably not going to come out this session. So whatever's happening with Yellowstone and whatever plans that Maddie Parker had as the master plans that Maddie Parker had to boost the film industry in Fort Worth, it's not looking good because
okay.
the conservative. Well, the thing is that the Republican Party, is really divided, and a big slice of the pie in the Republican Party, the conservative people, have totally bucked Maddie Parker. You know, they don't want nothing anything with her fingerprints on it.
And y'all, listen, that's huge because to be honest with you. as much as Trump did, his party never gave up on him. You feel me? Now, y'all know Trump done did some stuff, and his party is still saying Trump. So how is it, what did Matty Parker do that made the Republican Party say, we're done? So you got to pay attention. If your own party says, nope, not going there no more, I mean, where is the endorsement for Betsy Price? Where is the endorsement from Greg Abbott this time? Where are all the endorsements that she had before? Even the Fort Worth firefighters, we have not seen an endorsement from them. She had that last time. So what has Matty Parker done that, you know, is making all her endorsements, like, or do her endorsements see what the rest of the people see, that you know, she's a hothead, you know, that she's highly emotional, you know, like, you know, she storms off, you know, I still don't get why she walked out with Peyton. You know, the girl's got 3 minutes in front of you. You know, I'm sorry. So, don't get me wrong. Peyton Jackson, let me give her credit. Ms. Jackson is a very powerful speaker. She really is very articulate. Her speeches are very thought out. You know, they're thought-provoking. All that considered, she only has 3 minutes to do it. And so for 3 minutes, I'd stare down anybody. And so I think Matty Parker made one of the worst mistakes of her career by walking off that 60 seconds when Peyton was talking to her. Because in reality, she was talking about reparations and the fact that Matty, you know, her city of where she grew up, Hyco, has connections to the Klan. That said, if I grew up in Hyco and somebody starts talking about the Klan, and I know I don't have any connections to them, I'm like, okay, so that's where I grew up at. You know, it is what it is. And so I think she made the worst mistake of her political career when she got up and had a hot head and walked off. Do y'all agree with that?
I agree with that on the local level, everything that you said on the local level. But there's two things that Matty Parker did that hurt her from all of the external endorsements that she could have got with the party, you know, with Betsy Price, Kay Granger, and the state and the people in Austin. She completely went full throttle pro transgender, and she completely went full throttle expanding Medicaid. Those were the two major policies. She's been down to Austin advocating for expansion of Medicaid, and that's just not a value. She didn't articulate it very well. Pretty much it goes on. She went in on Obamacare, and that's a problem for the conservatives. And contrary to what she's pitching out there, the third prong of that is property tax control. She's presided over this city when people are put in the bind, and she ain't done nothing effective about trying to handle property. In fact, you know, and everybody talks about, oh, it's the school tax and everything. But when you have a mayor that's presiding over a city manager that's making deals for faulty deals for a new city hall, faulty deals for this homeless development on Seminary, millions and millions and millions, nearly to a billion. You got this guy who's paid, the city manager who's paid nearly $500,000 a year to shoot craps with taxpayer money in the amount of a billion dollars a year, and it just hasn't played out very well since he's been there, and she's been co-signing that, and so that's been writing check. She's writing hot checks, and the taxpayers, we haven't even seen the mathematics yet, but they're starting to liquidate assets. Collateral things, you're seeing some stupid stuff go on at City Hall that nobody understands. But come 5 to 10 years, when Matty Parker fades out or whatever, guess what? The bill's coming due, and it's on the taxpayers' back.
Okay, y'all. When Betsy Price left office, the budget was said to be $2.7 billion in the red. We did a show with Truth in Accounting out of Chicago, an independent accounting firm who did the number. So $2.7 billion at the end of Betsy Price's term. So where are we now if an independent audit came in? If we were 2.7 then, and with all the spending that we've seen under Matty's administration, where are we now? So So, y'all, when you go to the polls, take that into consideration. You know, we are in trouble, you know, and I'm sure if the real numbers were told, I think people's eyeballs would pop out, you know, with that. But before we move on, Adrian, any thoughts on that?
No, I'll be real quick here. And one thing I will advocate for, regardless, like I say, the outcome doesn't determine your position here.
Mm-hmm.
I will be advocating for trying to get can we get the actual dollar figure of where we at as a city publicized for the entire Fort Worth. That way, people will be more or less, you know, because we need to stop spending. Spending needs to stop. We got to spend, but we also got to realize we got another bond coming up. And we know people don't, you know how they throw them bonds at us. So, I'll leave it there, Carrie.
Yeah.
I'm
going to say this $80,000 a year to pay for sanitary products, and I'm a woman, to put sanitary products in the city buildings, to say that you're doing it for the juveniles, I disagree. Because if you were doing it for the juveniles, you would put it in buildings where juveniles were only. But you got it in City Hall where women are working every day. So for us to be spending $80,000, as Elizabeth Beck said, to buy sanitary pads and tampons for men and women is a waste. And that's the type of overspending we got to stop. Yeah, that part. Go ahead, Christopher. We
so
got to move
another
on.
There's another figure that I would say in all of this that we're discussing right now, and I'm going to research it when we get off the show, and maybe it'll come up on the page. You know, you guys have heard of the Moody rating, right?
The Moody.
It's like basically, you know, you got a credit score, people got a credit score, but there's also everybody's got this AAA rating or whatever. That's the big thing about what you're eligible for. I would be interested to see what the Fort Worth City accounts are getting rated with Moody, because that's what you have for being like, are you a lender? You know, for your lending, how are you compromised as far as your, your debt to income ratio and everything like that? So I'm going to look up and see if I can find it some way with the Moody rating and to see if
why do you keep going in and out? Are you moving around?
$2 billion in debt. I'm wondering what the Moody rating is. What is our rating in Fort Worth for being eligible for continued lending or whatever, you know?
Well, no. Let me be clear for anybody who's confused about the $2.7 billion. They don't show that. Fort Worth does not show the $2.7 billion. The $2.7 billion is recorded because the retirement accounts and the medical insurance accounts are not being funded properly. And I think one, they're supposed to match a dollar for dollar, and then the other, I think they're supposed to match 50 cents for every dollar. But they're not properly funding their end. The city is not properly funding their end. So it's the numbers, they're looking at it like it's future debt. But in actuality, if for whatever reason it was called in today, it's not in the account to pay it, if that makes sense.
Right.
So that's where we are.
Yeah.
That's where we are with that. Okay. So
but
anybody that's
I know.
We got to get on.
I know in the
on.
Past. I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I know in the past, like with the stuff that was going on in Chicago and some other cities, and it's also mm-hmm. a federal thing. Whenever there's some default danger coming in or everything like that, you always hear about this AAA rating or your AAA rating about. But all the cities. So when Fort Worth was having this, when Chicago was having the same thing with their, you're talking about the, yeah, we don't get the figures from the city to show what's in the red. So you got to like go under the radar, stealth mode, and kind of make an inference for yourself. But what I'm saying is, let's look at Moody and let's see what Moody's rating is for the city of Fort Worth. I'm gonna look into it later, and we'll move on now.
Right. Okay, Gerald, I'm not sure what this means, so you're going to have to call in and explain that one yourself, because I do not get that. He just sent me a message, and I'm not sure what that means. Okay, y'all, in District 2, like we talked about, Carlos Flores, the incumbent, and is unopposed. So we know with one vote, he will go back. But we do know he got his mama's house shot up. Let me stop. I'm sorry. I'm being silly. But it did happen. And since this race has been going on, so we still ain't clear as to why the man shot up in his mama's house and shot his mama. Thank God his mama's going to be fine. But we still ain't sure what that was about, Carlos. Moving on. We know Crane in District 3, he's an incumbent. He's unopposed. So with one vote, all he has to do is go to the polls and vote for himself, and I'm sure he already has. He will be back in District 3. Okay, in District 4, we have Teresa Ramirez-Gonzalez and Charles Lauderdor. Now, Lauderdor is endorsed by the POA. Our thought is that Teresa would make the better choice for District 4. For anybody who lives over there, Teresa Ramirez-Gonzalez, when you go into the booth. Because I'm concerned the Lauderdor, I really haven't heard him say very much, but he's endorsed by the POA. We know that vote's coming up next year, so we know that he's probably going to vote whichever way they tell him to vote. Can I agree with that?
Can I throw in some analysis? Yeah, I'll throw in some analysis on that. Lauderdor came out, I think everybody was on the books to run before. Lauderdor stepped in. He got the POA. He was really trending and vibing. He went on the Larry O'Neill show and had a good interview. I don't knock the dude or whatever, you know, this, that, whatever, but one of my things is the POA, not the police department, but the POA is a no-go for me with any candidate, not the police department. But recently, for about the last 3 to 4 weeks, I haven't heard anything out about him, no interviews, no flyers, no nothing. And I've seen, like, recently a lot of trending with Teresa Ramirez, a lot of endorsements, and a lot of people, you know, the actual citizens are vibing for Teresa Ramirez.
Any thoughts, Adrian?
Hey, POA plan. I'll go with the other candidate. There's four candidates and the POA is endorsing one. I'll be rooting for the best of the other three. So,
okay. Yeah. So this is just a two-man race. This is just a two-man race. Ramirez, Gonzalez, and Lauderdor. So because the BOA endorsement, you agree, Teresa Ramirez-Gonzalez?
Yes, Ramirez-Gonzalez.
Okay, y'all, that's what we call it before. In District 5, ooh, y'all, ooh, I'm just saying. We got William McKinley Jackson, we got Gina Bivens, and we got Bob Williams. Now, y'all know we like Bob over here. Bob comes to the show all the time, you know. Damn. And then we got Gina and we got Williams. This is a real tricky race. Who are y'all calling for District 5?
William McKinley Jackson.
You call William McKinley Jackson?
All in. All chips on the table.
What you saying, Adrian?
I'm going back. No, I was talking. Bob, you listening? No, I'm leaning towards McKinley, and I say, because think about this: 10 years of nothing. 10 years of nothing. We know Bob is going to be there, regardless. Yeah. Bob is going to be there regardless. So, but I would say McKinley. Then I pull Bob as my second.
And I'm going to tell y'all what I think on 5. I think this has probably been the most interesting race. We know McKinley Jackson's house got shot up. You know, how many rounds did you think that was, Christopher? Was it 50 or 70?
It was over 50.
Okay, over 50 rounds shot up into his house. We know that someone went to his landlord in Aledo and asked that he lived there. And then his good-looking, very handsome son, Jack, who's like the highly intelligent young man who, you know, I mean, wouldn't hurt nobody. They say Jack was in a gang. You know, they just spreading all kind of rumors about McKinley Jackson and the whole thing. So we know that's an issue or you know, that happened in the race. And, you know, asked McKinley Jackson who he thought did it. He said he didn't think Bob did it. So I don't know what to make of that. And then, you know, Gina, Gina has done some things this last year that I think has caused her her popularity to just dip, because I think every time she was mayor pro tem, she managed to tick somebody off. So that and the situation in Echo Heights and the situation over in Mosier Valley, I think are all going to cause Gina significantly. Now, we know that Echo Heights is no longer in Gina's district. She moved Echo Heights out of her district, and it's going to be in the new 11. I think that's going to cost her as well, because she did not fix their problems. She just moved them to another district. So I think all of those things combined is going to cause Gina not to be reelected. Those are just my thoughts. And so I'm thinking that McKinley Jackson has won a tremendous race, and I think for that reason, he's probably going to pull five. I think Bob has got, you know, experience on the campaign trail, but I think he needed to do more this time to get the vote, and I don't think he did that. And so for that reason, I think that McKinley Jackson is going to pull it off. Say what, Chris?
Let me ask you. On the radar yesterday or today from a good person.
You cut out, Chris.
Yeah, I got something from somebody the other day, today, recently, a comment, and I'm trying to understand with the redistricting. So you got Echo Heights. That was a vulnerability for her, so she shifted that over to 11, right?
Right.
The other one that I've heard about, today was there's another community, Eastwood. Did Eastwood get districted? Because I've heard that there's been a lot of people in Eastwood that wasn't too happy with her either. And it got shifted over to 11.
I think she did move a portion of Eastwood over to, or all the Eastwood over to 11. Yeah.
Yeah. So those two places that's what we got with the gerrymandering. We had some toggling going on because she knew the places that was going to freaking hurt her. She went ahead and dumped those off.
Wow. Yeah, that's what we call it in five. We think that Gina's, the fact that her popularity has dipped, really dipped, since she became mayor pro tem, and some of the everything seems like it's crashing in on her at the same time. So I think for that reason, she may not be re-elected to that seat. Y'all, in District 6, that's another race. A lot of crazy stuff going on in District 6. We know District 6 has Tonya Carter on the ballot. It also has Jared Williams, the incumbent, and it also has Italian Della Cruz. So if we were to start with Jared Williams has been accused of stealing. He's been accused of taking $11,000 in campaign donations and putting it in his account for his personal consulting firm. We know that Italian Della Cruz has been flip-flopping. You know, she's saying one thing and getting found to be doing something else. She told me personally, I'm not a part of any PAC. I don't know why they're lying on me, but she's part of a PAC. I said, you know, that Tim O'Hare was endorsing her. She said, I don't know why they're lying on me. I don't have any connections to Tim O'Hare. Mm-hmm. And we saw in the news this week, she is connected to Tim O'Hare. And he did endorse her. So, you know, I don't know. I think Chris said it best that Tonya Carter may end up winning this whole thing because Della Cruz and Jared got all this going on.
Yeah, and that's my point of that is on the integrity issue. We got integrity problems with Jared. We got integrity problems with Italia. So I'm just going to have the spine and go ahead and chime in. Tonya Carter for District 6.
Wow. What do you think, Adrian? How do you think that's going to pan out?
We called in races, but I hope at the end we factor in a possibility of I know you will. I'm not going to even say hope we do, because I'm thinking about even with five possible runoff in five.
Runoff.
I'm thinking six. I'm telling you, let me just go on the record. Jared got it. You got to think about what Jared did outside of this thing that came up. You got to look at what Jared's been doing. He's been doing in the community, and then you got to think back to that last race when he came out of a runoff. He went into a runoff, and then just went ahead and just finished it. So it's possibly, if he don't get 50%, they'll go into a runoff, and he'll just have to It'll be a runoff. It'll be a runoff. If you don't get 50%,
you know
it'll be a runoff.
I think you made an excellent point. We're going to go back to five, and I think Gina Bivens and McKinley Jackson will go into a runoff. That's it. And I think you're right. Dela Cruz and Jared in six will probably go to a runoff as well. That part.
It's just because, you know, we got all this interference. See, when you got this this pack, that's kind of – it might put them in a space for runoff. Now, as far as Gina and McKinley, you got people who rocking with Gina. For whatever reason, they rocking with her. Then you got McKinley Jackson is really showing people, you know, hey, this is the way it should be. This is the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to move on from this. When you think about Moshe Valley has only been given 10 years in office. You only giving them a damn park? Not damn, a damn park. You've only gave that community a park? That community wasn't worth nothing but a park? So, yeah.
Well, no, technically that's not right because, remember, the park only has some slab of concrete in it, so it's not even complete.
Well, you know, the idea was to that's what she basically what she thought of. That's how they would work to her as a park or even an ideal of a park. So yeah, Kerry, I'm thinking possible runoffs in five and six. We're looking at possible runoffs.
I agree. And y'all, let's talk about District 7. You got Jason Ellis over there. You got Caleb Beckham, and then you got Macy Hill. Macy Hill is endorsed by the Fort Worth POA. And the Fort Worth Firefighters POA. And Jason Ellis, I saw several debates. He seems very high strung. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to hurt him or not, you know, in his presentation. He seems highly intelligent, but he seems very not a people person, if that makes sense. And so I think for that reason, Jason, who's run a very quiet race, if it's a runoff, I think it may be between Macy Hill and Macy Hill and Caleb. But I think Jason was endorsed today by Tim O'Hare. Tim O'Hare endorsed several
right.
people, and I think Jason Ellis was one of those. So, I ain't got nothing to do with him, but I think – I'm sorry?
There's a bigger picture with Macy Hill too. You just put the Fort Worth POA in there, but that's compounded by the fact is she is full blood Fort Worth way.
And I think her husband is on the TRWD.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. FYI, y'all, we paying attention. So y'all, I'm gonna say that if this thing pops off, it's probably gonna if it's a runoff, it's gonna be maybe between Caleb Beckham and Macy Hill. I just didn't find Jason Ellis to be a very people person, and I think that will hurt it. You know, his answers were very sharp, very direct, and I don't know that, you know, that makes a difference, but, you know, presentation is everything for some people. They just go off first impressions. And so I think his delivery was very, very interesting. But he was highly intelligent. I think he said it was a former plumber who had, you know, had a business and that type of thing. District 8, y'all, Chris Nettles is an incumbent who is unopposed, due to all that gerrymandering. So all he has to do is vote one time, and he will be back in District 8. So that's just what that's going to be. District 9, you know, you got Jason Pena over there. Elizabeth Beck is the incumbent. You got Chris Reed and Pamela Boggess. Let's start with Christopher Reed. He just has not been out there. I don't even know what the guy looks like. I think I've seen him one time, and I believe he's a black guy. I think, but
Christopher Reeves is the. I think he's the tech dude. He's got a little tech firm. I think he's a white guy, and he runs some kind of computer technology company. He's okay but he hasn't been active.
The fact that I don't know if you're black or white already says he's gonna have a problem. Because I don't even know who he is, and I've been watching these races real close. Pamela Boggess, you know, she hasn't said very much. We know that she has the 4POA endorsement. We know that she has the PAC endorsement. You know, Christopher mentioned earlier that she's got, you know, questionable $80,000 that people are, you know, saying something's wrong with. Elizabeth Beck, what can we say? Elizabeth Beck, the incumbent, is definitely
You're
on
done.
The vote. A lot of people say she's done. because of just her mouth, stuff that she said and done on the dais has hurt her tremendously. How she used to attack Thomas, how she's attacked Bob, how she, you know, said that men have cycles, you know, how she broke quorum to keep Bob from allegedly speaking at a city council meeting. All of that has cost that. And so the fact that the mayor is aligning herself with her opponent is very strange too. So I think Jason Pena for the win. I think Jason has run a heck of a race over there. I mean, he's like, he's a real people person, good-looking guy. He's out there shaking hands and hugging babies and, you know, really doing the politician thing. He really looks like a politician. So I think Jason Pena may pull it off. What do y'all think?
Well, I wouldn't use the word politician. I just think he's part of the Avithia, you know, over in 11. We'll get to that later. But he's part of the one. He's just sick and tired of getting the lip service and, you know, people just coming to his town with his agenda without any input from the community or the people. He's sick of it.
I hear you. What do you think, Aiden?
He's that voice.
Opinions in, I haven't followed him much, but as in regards to Beck, I think she's probably done herself in. She's gonna follow on her own sword. But if you look at it, and I think once you know a lot of people, I think she realized she got that bad publicity. That's probably why she didn't show up at City Hall Tuesday. She was there via what you call it virtual, but she didn't show up in person. So, you know, maybe she took a page out of Maddie's book. You don't know what a person is gonna say in public comment. And I think she was trying to. I think possibly she was trying to keep that potential of somebody questioning her or, you know, saying anything that deflect from her trying to run a race off of her. But
yeah,
so
that was another mark on her.
Huh? Do I think it's going to be a runoff? From what you, I'm telling you this, after you shared that mailer with me, I don't see no way of that was savage. That mailer just like whoa.
Check.
And like you said, if the county judge is already going on record saying things, you know, with it, you know, using his position to kind of get it in people's minds, you know, because you know what I realized about the county judge, he understands who supported him in his election. He know who supported him. He know who supported him in his county. So why not use it to your advantage if you want to? You feel like somebody is not going to, you know, benefit whatever, shit, go at them.
Let me ask y'all this, because I wasn't sure. I was thinking about, I think I know. So, you know, we have this PAC thing going on that we discussed a while that went three ways with Maddie Parker. But Tim O'Hare, it seems to me, the only one he came out with for city council he didn't endorse for mayor. He didn't endorse for 9. He only endorsed for Italia. Am I right? He didn't endorse.
No, he didn't endorse him. I think he aligned himself. Wait a minute. Oh God. I think he endorsed.
No,
He endorsed several people.
Yeah, he got more endorsements than that. Hold on, I got you, Carrie.
The question I asked is, did he endorse Maddie Parker and did he endorse Bodges?
No, he only endorsed. Oh no, we already. Yeah, Chair, he didn't endorse Bodges either. He only endorsed Blaylock, Italia Dela Cruz, and Blaylock.
Ooh.
Them the only two he endorsed, and then he endorsed. Yeah. Those are the only two he endorsed. He only endorsed Italia Dela Cruz and Blaylock.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, so where did Bodges go? So go figure. Yeah, some strange stuff going on with these endorsements. Some strange stuff going on, y'all. I don't know.
You gotta understand. Remember, she was an attorney right here in Tarrant County, or did she practice in Tarrant County? So you got to understand
this. Yeah, she was a prosecutor and a defense attorney here.
You got to understand this. The county judge, the DA, and the sheriff, they are three amigos. She worked in Tarrant County as an attorney, so maybe it's just some ramblings there to where it's like, we'll let her figure it out, you know.
Well, and then the other thing you got to consider is she flunked out running for judge just last year, a year or two ago. So he just might not said she was a viable candidate because he knows, you know, as far as politics go, she might just need to stay in the courtroom.
Right. So I think I'm going to call this as a runoff between maybe Jason Pena and Pamela Boggan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we got to move on because we got to get out of here. Okay, let's get to District 10. Y'all listen. The choir fell up there on the diet has got himself in more stuff lately, and that would be Blaylock. You know, Blaylock was initially looking like the quiet guy on the council. You know, he didn't say much, and then he got himself all entangled in this situation with Peyton Jackson and Mayor Parker. We know Crane and Flores are guilty too, but Blaylock was caught with his lips moving when the camera caught it moving. And so I think Crane and Flores threw a rock and hit their hand. But Mata's filming actually caught Blaylock's lips moving. And we heard him say to Peyton Jackson, "You're a joke," which is something a sitting person on the council should never say to the residents of a city. That just made no sense. And so with that said, I just think, you know, at the same time, the mayor was saying, we're going to have decorum in here. we're going to use decorum in this chamber. At the same time, he's saying you're a joke. And Blaylock is seen saying it on camera, and then Crane and Flores are heard talking. You don't see them, but you hear them as well. So I think that's going to hurt Blaylock. I think he almost slid into home base, you know, the fact that he had been a council person, you know what I'm saying, that he was low-key, nobody really knew much about him. And now this thing with Peyton has thrust him into the spotlight, and I think it's going to hurt him. So I believe Brandon Jones, the quiet, well-spoken, very friendly home inspector will either take him in or will either end up in a runoff with him, or he may take him all the way. What do y'all think?
My analysis is, yeah, about that whole scene, just to make it real quick, it looks like Larry and Moe threw Curly under the bus as far as Peyton goes. You know, I don't know. They just really shoved him in front of the semi. So he took that hit, but ultimately what it comes down to is he was quiet, you know, it looks like he was holding his cards good, and then he got called and the bluff busted on him. So he showed his cards, and he keeps showing his cards, and it's not good for him. I think he gave his opponent a big, big boost.
I agree. What do you think?
I think as it relates to Brandon, like you said, you had him on the show. I think it's all a matter of what he's been doing up in his community to get his name out. Because like you say, other than the show, we don't really know much about him other than the show and what's going on with him. But he spoke to the community, like when he was on your show, how he said he's been there, you know, XYZ. So hopefully he's been putting the necessary time and work in, because like I said, it's a new district, because you got to just realize Blaylock just put two bullets in his gun. He got Tim O'Hara and he got the POA. So he just put two bullets in his gun that possibly could he can fire and possibly, you know what I'm saying, get him across. But I want to bank. I just hope we'll know tomorrow. And I think it'll be more or less on what Brandon is doing on his end. that'll make the difference.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this, and then we're going to move on to 11. I think those two bullets came in the gun really late, so the word may not get out. And Tim will hear the doorbell. FYI.
I got you.
My second thing is that Blaylock moved to a new district. He moved from 4 to 10. So he may not be as familiar up in 10 as he was in 4. So somebody who's
four.
Really not paying attention to city council meetings may not even know who Blaylock is. And then what Blaylock did with Peyton Jackson, I think it's going to cost him because that thing has kind of been making its rounds on social media. So I think that's going to hurt. All right, y'all. Move to District 11. District 11 has Jeanette Martinez, Rick Herring, Tara Maldonado Wilson, Christopher Johnson, Ricardo Avedia. Now, this is what I know about Martinez. Martinez has a lot of money behind her, a lot of money, and she has a lot of big endorsements. She really does. Got to give her that. But I think she said some things that maybe she shouldn't have that may hurt her. She was at one of the debates, and she said, I'm the most educated person here, which I think is like not a good thing to say. It's just not. So I think that may hurt her. And then the fact that she's Hispanic, and her two other opponents, Avedia and Maldonado, spoke fluent Spanish on the podium when asked about it, and she said, "Yeah, I speak Spanish and read Spanish," but she didn't speak any. So that's questionable. But she's endorsed by a lot of heavy hitters. Let me tell y'all who's endorsing this yet. She's got Commissioner Roy Brooks, and y'all, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call her a chick, this lady. She's got Commissioner Roy Brooks. She's got former State Senator Beverly Powell. She's got former Mayor Mike Moncrief. She's got Councilman Carlos Flores. She's got Fort Worth ISD Trustee Anil Lobanos. She's got Fort Worth POA, Fort Worth Firefighters Association, and the Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
And the Bass family.
Probably, but she does not present well on panels. When she's in front of the people, she does not look as well prepared as Maldonado and Avedia. So with all the money she's had behind her, I just don't see it. And then Rick Herring, who's been like I think he ran a neighborhood association. He's had a little money behind him too. I never understood why people made an issue of him being openly gay. I don't know how that came up. I don't even know why that was discussed. Maybe because somebody said it's on his social media account, but I just don't know how that factors into the race. Maldonado, I think, got in a little trouble. Some people had a problem with her going to a drag queen event, and the drag queen was sitting on stage with their genitals, available for viewing. And so I think that agitated a little bit to a lot of people.
Well,
so,
she also got on the stage and made a speech, a real raucous speech, and like I'm not knocking her. I don't agree with that, but anything new in there. I think she would be a fighter for the people. But
okay.
I strongly think that I'll let you go ahead and keep going.
Okay, because we're about out of here. Christopher Johnson, yeah. he's a black guy, I think I was speaking of y'all. He's really quiet race, so I don't think anybody knows him. So I think really it's going to be probably a runoff between Maldonado, who I do like, despite what people have a problem with the drag queen thing, I do like him, and Ricardo Avedia. I think that the runoff will be there. What do y'all think?
I'm going Avedia, and possibly she got all them. She got all them bullets in my gun. But again,
I think
I'll go Avedia Herring.
Oh
really?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Herring is. I will tell you that a neighborhood association meeting. And they've been out there. When they get in front of the people, Martinez and Herring both flop. They both fall on their face. They don't resonate at all. They shoot the establishment script, and that's what they are. The Navarez family, all of Wesleyans, you know, the Wesleyan clique, Kay Granger kind of, Roy Brooks, the big names, all Rick Herring and Martinez are just trying to ride the Fort Worth Way money train to victory. But Avithia and Maldonado have been rock stars as far as the people go. They have been actually doing the groundwork. They've been out there, you know, I think they've been out there speaking to the issues. They have their pulse. They have their pulse. They know the people's pulse, and they're ready to come into the game and fight. But I go with Avithia, man. He's got the organization, and he's got a good background.
Yeah, well, Avithia is my top pick out of all those candidates. Avithia is my top pick. So I'm hopefully if it is a runoff and he's in, I'm hoping he can go ahead and finish, because I really truly think he is about the community, you know, and you know, standing up for something. So,
wow. So you don't think a runoff in 11? You think he's just gonna take the whole thing?
No. I said if it is a runoff. No, it's gonna be a runoff. Yeah, I believe it's gonna be a runoff in that race, because you gotta think about the representation in that particular race. It's gonna really split the votes up amongst the Hispanics, because you know you got three of them represented, so it's going to split their votes up. But I think out of the three, he is the one that's community. I would say he's community. So if it's a runoff and he's in it, I see him being in the runoff, possibly being one of the ones in the runoff and finishing the race.
Let me ask you this: do y'all believe there's going to be any cheating going on? Because we got that new voter integrity for it going on. So
Terry,
y'all think
they
going to get caught cheating?
They put that little, like I told them, they put that story, whoever published that story the other day, I said, if y'all ain't got nothing, if it ain't got nothing credible, why are y'all talking about it? Because I read that story, it wasn't nothing going on. Y'all just... I think they put that story out there, or somebody stirred up something just to kind of scare people, just to kind of fear monger people.
Listen, this is what I'm interested to know. Listen, they said that there were six complaints that they actually merited and investigated. They said they shut down four of them. There's two of them that they didn't mention nothing about name-wise or anything that are still active. And I'm just curious if that doesn't have something to do with the campaign stuff going on with Jared and the campaign stuff going on with Bivens, if they're the target, because those are left. You know, you got those right people, Wayburn and everything. They don't want Bivens and they don't want Jared because they're Act Blue. So you got the Fort Worth Excellence versus Act Blue. So the Fort Worth Excellence is in power at the DA. So he might be coming after Bivens and Jared.
Listen, why just the black people? Ain't nobody on the white people.
Well, it is what it is. That's just details.
I'm just saying, y'all, something ain't right about that. Ain't no white people up there doing nothing wrong with all that corruption, Larry Bird.
I agree.
What was the Bird guy named that was the council person? The Councilman Bird that was on there.
I forget
his name. Anyway, Bird said it was a lot of corruption going on. So you mean the only people committing corruption is black people? But anyway, y'all, I'm not going to get into that tonight. Listen, follow us on Facebook, y'all. We're on Facebook under Let's Talk Fort Worth. Listen, that page is always popping, y'all. Yeah, it's always popping. So follow us on Facebook, because we'd love to have you over there. We'd love to know what you think of our content. We'd love to hear what you think of the next type of shows that we should do. Or if you don't like what we're doing, tell us that too. We'd love to hear from you. Just don't be no hater. We got some of them. Don't do that. Don't be no hater.
Yeah.
Also, listen, y'all, we're going to be right back here tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're going to be calling these races as they're coming in. The polls close at 7. We will be here at 7:30 to 9:30 telling you who's doing what in the races and how, if there's going to be runoffs, if there's going to be, declared winners. We're going to be talking about all of that tomorrow night. Listen, y'all, if you like what we do here, consider donating to the show. We have big things planned for upcoming shows. We want to get out into the community, but all of that takes dollars. So if you like what we do here on Let's Talk Fort Worth, consider donating to the show. We do great things here, and we have great plans for the future as well. Also, y'all, listen, tomorrow is Election Day, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. You can cast your ballot for who you want for the next mayor, who you want for the next council person in your district. It is what it is, y'all. This is your last chance for you to get your voice to be heard downtown. So speak now or forever hold your peace. So do this, y'all. Keep it locked right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we do what we do. But tomorrow night, we're going to do a special show, like we said, to do election coverage. Come back and join us then. All right, y'all, until tomorrow night at 7:30, we'll see you then. Good night.